Wow, Kurt Warner and the Cardinals came out and said, "What's my name?"
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful!
Oh my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Anquan Boldin has put the diaper firmly on their defensive coordinator.
DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
That'll win you a gig in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
So, gentlemen, you're asking yourselves, what exactly does playoff podcasting mean? You know, it's sort of an existential question. You know, and I'm thinking, well, if you remember back to a year ago, it means intros like, here we are, welcome to Cardinals Underground. I'm Paul Calvisi, and over here I am doing the unthinkable, the incomprehensible, the nearly impossible. I am making Ron Wolfley and Darren Urban make them sound like they know what they're talking about here on Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com. That's the sort of intro we're going to get in playoff podcasting because, gentlemen, the gloves are off. You guys are going to feel the full wrath of my playbook today. There's no more vanilla broadcasting here on Cardinals Underground. I just want you guys to know that right up front if you didn't already.
What does playoff podcasting sound like? Well, it sounds like this. We're going to talk about how you need to be able to run the ball effectively enough in the postseason to keep the other team honest. We're going to be talking about taking the football away from the other team, Paulie. And we're going to be talking about scoring touchdowns in the red zone when given the opportunity. You must capitalize on it. That's what a playoff podcast sounds like.
That's apropos there, Wolf, because a little bit later, Darren Urban, the Paulie Pigskin Three Keys to Victory will be coming our way. And that's Wolf and I are on the same page over there. He had his three keys. I got my Paulie Playoffs three keys coming up a little bit later. That's something to look forward to here on Cardinals Underground.
I don't know if I can keep up with all that, to be honest.
So let's throw an existential question at you, Darren Urban. Do the Packers really know the Cardinals right now? Do they know the real Cardinals right now? Or do they think they know the Cardinals? Or do they realize, no, we don't know the real Cardinals. We played the other Cardinals, and we're going to see the real Cardinals on Sunday. Where do you think it exists right now?
I think I land at the feet of where Ken Wisenhunt was earlier this week, even though I'm not totally sure he believes this when he's saying it. But when he said, we'll see on Sundays. We will see on Sunday whether the Packers know the Cardinals, whether the Cardinals know themselves well enough to have done what they did last week, whether they did the right thing, whether the Packers did the right thing. You know, I think I'm definitely taking a wait and see with this whole thing because I don't know how much of whether they quote unquote know the Cardinals is going to mean as much as, you know, who plays better on Sunday, quite frankly. Well, and does some of the things that Wolf already brought up.
Well, here's a pair of chaps and some Vaseline, Darren. You know, right in the fence. It's got to hurt a little chafing going on here in this playoff podcast.
Wow. It's getting ugly.
I think the Green Bay Packers have seen enough film on the Arizona Cardinals where they think they know the Arizona Cardinals. They think they know the
Arizona Cardinals,
Paulie. I don't believe for a moment that Mike McCarthy is going to look at last week's game and say, aha, this is what they did. He's not going to take anything away from that game other than how did our players stack up against their players. That's what he will take away from that. And for a quarter, at least, the Cardinal defense was out on the field. At least it seemed to me that it was a quarter they were out there on the field. And Kurt Warner was out there for two series. And the starters, a lot of the offensive starters, were out there. I think he'll be able to take that away from that game. But in regard to game planning and what Coach Wiz is going to do and what the Arizona Cardinals have shown over the last 4 or 5 weeks, that's what the Green Bay Packers are going to be breaking down, not last week.
Yeah, and I was going to say, there's a difference between saying, do the Packers know the Cardinals based on last weekend and do the Packers know the Cardinals, end of sentence, because I think, are they going to take much out of last week's game? No, but I mean, We've just played an entire regular season. And my personal feeling, yeah, I think the Packers know what the Cardinals are bringing to the table. They may not know exactly how they're going to attack the Packers at first. But, again, I don't know how much of last week really makes a difference in saying, oh, the Packers just aren't going to be prepared for this team. I just don't buy that.
So why do we keep hearing this storyline in the media, and maybe we're just as guilty as anyone else, of this supposed psychological edge the Packers have? I mean, Ron Wolfley, if you were standing in your locker today, and Paulie Reporter over here had his NFL Network mic flag, and I came up to you in your playing days, my question to you was, Mr. Wolfley, what do the Packers' two wins mean so far in this 2009 season? What should we as the media take away from the two meetings, Cardinals and Packers, so far going into Sunday?
You guys are incredible. Really? You're going to look at the preseason game? You're going to actually put any credence on the preseason game, and you're going to look at one quarter, one series in some case. You're going to look at that? No wonder why you guys are in the media.
Who takes the third game of the preseason like it's
BS? That's my exact point. So where did we come up with this supposed psychological edge that the Packers own?
Who's coming up with this?
In various stories.
Here's a point I would like to make, though, and I would go back to this team. Last year, the Cardinals went to Carolina in the postseason. Carolina hadn't lost at home all season long. But you guys were all around this team. Was there any fear that this Cardinal team had going to Carolina for the postseason last year? No, because they had gone there once, and yeah, they lost, but they came away feeling like they should have won. There was no intimidation factor. Now, I believe that if you're talking about any kind of psychological advantage the Packers have, I believe is, yeah, you've got the home field advantage here, but I don't think it's as strong as maybe it could be. Because whether those games counted or not, whether that preseason game, that first half of that preseason game counted, whether this last game meant anything to anybody, I believe that the Packers can come into this building and there's no fear factor playing here. Now, they don't necessarily know exactly what the Cardinals are bringing, but there's no intimidation of being on the road at this place because they feel comfortable after what they've accomplished. Okay. I'm not saying it counts.
Let me stop you right there, though. I mean, doesn't that fall into the same category? Because the Cardinals might, the Packers might think they know the Cardinals, right? Or maybe they really do know the Cardinals based on the other 15 regular season games. I don't know. But do they really know University of Phoenix Stadium? They were here in August for a preseason game. They were here. I mean, that place was basically a morgue compared to what will be playoff atmosphere come Sunday. So do the Packers and Aaron Rodgers in particular, when you think of how rattled Matt Ryan got in that building a year ago in the first round,
do they really know
the Cardinals' home field advantage?
First of all, let's not go comparing Matt Ryan as a rookie to Aaron Rodgers where he is right now, because that's not even in the same continent.
How many playoff starts does Aaron Rodgers have under his belt?
I just thought I'd
throw that out there. I'm not comparing them either.
Right.
And I might actually be giving away one of my three keys in the Pauly playoff three keys. I just thought I'd bring that up.
And this really has been a hostile podcast.
Really? Well, I'm getting sick and tired of it, damn it.
Darren's ready to walk.
It's unbelievable.
Darren's going to ball up his fist like Calais Campbell and let me have it here in the middle with the cast.
I hope that the Green Bay Packers have a psychological advantage. I applaud these media members that are stepping forward saying the Green Bay Packers have a psychological advantage.
You welcome it, Ron Wolfley.
I do welcome it because I think this team responds best when they are faced with adversity. And this is the type of adversity where they get called out, where they get somewhat challenged. I wish it was much more vociferous than it is right now. I wish there were people standing up on national television saying that the Green Bay Packers have a psychological advantage and will whoop the Arizona Cardinals. Some of them are saying that, by the way. But not as many as last year. It's not unanimous.
Speaking of psychology, is it me and Paul, you were down in the locker room after the game. There was this vibe from Coach Wisenhunt and from the players. You almost got that feeling like there were the sly grins and some of the things that were said. It was like we know something you don't know, and they were not just Packers, but the world in general. We know something you don't know, and
it's sort of that line from Rounders, the movie about poker. When you look around the table and you can't figure out who the sucker is, it's you. I kind of got that feeling. In the Cardinals locker room. I looked around and they all knew something.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was they felt like the Packers showed their hand, if you want to use the poker analogy,
right,
that you could see their cards, and the Cardinals had their cards real close to the vest. I'm not sure what it was, or you could see the reflection off your cards through your sunglasses. I'm not sure what that was, but I got that vibe as well.
Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't because they had a jock stapled to your shirt, Paul, and you didn't know it?
It's really off now. The gloves are officially off right now because I just got the pull.
You guys with the vibe. We know something. This metaphysical, esoteric vibe that you guys somehow tapped into. Is this the X-Files, or is this Cardinals Underground?
This is actually a seance, and here in a moment we're going to welcome Harry Houdini into the room here at Cardinals Underground.
There was this vibe in the locker room. Gosh. It was palpable.
Well, maybe, you know, let me say, if you're looking for a vibe, there was a negative vibe or at least some disappointment over the injury situation. Yes. There's no doubt about that. All right, so what do we know, Darren? How much do you think it'll impact the game on Sunday?
Well, as we do this right now, obviously we have some significant time before kickoff, but Calais Campbell had surgery on his left thumb, had some pins put in or screws or something.
Told
like
you
that.
Before any of the media, he's going.
Yeah, he said that to me yesterday. I mean, I said, you think you're going to be able to play? And of course, he looked at me like I had three eyes. What the hell?
Like you had a jock stable to your chest.
But he'll have the club, just like Coach Wisenhunt said he might have on Monday. He'll have that club cast on. I mean, he won't be able to use his hands, or at least one of them. So we'll see how effective he can be shedding blockers, that kind of thing. But I anticipate he plays. I think Dominic Rogers-Cromartie plays with the bruised knee, although, you know, I don't know how much practice time he's going to get, and we'll kind of see where he stands, but I think he'll be out there. To me, the biggest question is going to be Anquan Boldin, but I can tell you earlier this week, while it didn't sound good, and again, when we're talking about the feelings around here, I'm thinking they've verge on the pessimistic whether he's going to be able to go. He's walking a lot better than I thought he would be at this early point in the week, and we'll see if he can practice. And again, you don't count Anquan out for a playoff game at this point.
All right, so what we do know, Ron Wolfley, is that Calais will play with that hand casted up. How big a deal is that?
That is a big deal. Calais Campbell has really developed. His development from year one to year two and the success that he has had is due to his using his hands so much better than he did his rookie season. Ron Aiken, the defensive line coach here, has done a phenomenal job in working with Calais Campbell. It is always the number one thing young defensive linemen coming into the NFL, they must learn to use their hands. It's not about being quick anymore. It's not about being explosive and getting off the ball and the arm under. You have to come off the ball and you've got to use your hands and use great leverage to get off of NFL offensive linemen. And therein lies the problem. He can use his hands, but as Darren has already pointed out, it's about shedding the blocker once you get your hands and your arms extended. It's about being able to grab his jersey so when you see the back make the cut, you can throw the offensive lineman, whom is probably holding you to begin with because of the liberties that they give offensive linemen, and rightfully so. I've got no problem with that. But they get their hands locked into you, especially inside on your numbers. That's where a good offensive line coach will teach you to shoot those hands up into the guy's chest inside his numbers, and you can grab jerseys, and the referee and the umpire will let you get away with that. They will let you hold that way. So getting off those blocks is going to be the challenge for Calais Campbell. Now, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is to me the biggest concern of the three, because I think Calais is going to be able to play. He's going to be effective. I don't think he's going to be anywhere close to his old self. Not 100%, obviously, for the reasons we've just talked about. It's very difficult, and he's important in the run game. But Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, I think, is a guy that changes the way you call a game if you're Bill Davis. He changes the way you attack Aaron Rodgers, I think, if you're Bill Davis. And if he's not 100%, if he's not able to go out and be as effective as you hope that he probably would, that's going to be a big, big deal. Anquan, I love Anquan. He's my favorite player in the league. Having said that, the respect that I have for him is cannot be measured by human hands. But let's face it, the Cardinals played a half against Atlanta last year and all of Carolina without Anquan Boldin. And Steve Breaston stepped up and stepped up nicely. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the Ken Whisenhunt era, Coach Wiz and company are 6-3.
I think it's 7-3 actually now after the Chicago win, right? And they put 41 points on the board at Soldier Field, right?
And it's
6-1
the last two seasons.
Last two years.
But, okay, let's just go with the last two then. They have been able to win games without the Quan. And that's a testament to everyone else that has stepped up in his absence, including Steve Breaston, including Jeremy Urban, including Early Doucette. That's going to be key. But Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie changes the way you call games and changes the way you might be able to attack the Green Bay Packers. The only other thing I'm going to say is this. With that bad knee, that bruised knee, whatever it is that is ailing DRC, he's not a great tackler to begin with. He's not. If he backs off of Donald Driver, if he backs off of Greg Jennings, if he backs off of Jermichael Finley, and he's off 8 to 10 yards. We saw it last week in the three plays he was in there, and I think we'll see it again. No matter what the Green Bay Packers have called, we could get a hootie-hoo, the hootie-hoo situation, where all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is looking out there, DRC's backed off. We're going to make Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie come up and tackle Donald Driver, tackle Greg Jennings, tackle Jermichael Finley, James Jones, whomever might be out there in whatever play they have called. They did it on the very first play of the game. They were in pair personnel, two backs, two tight ends, one wide receiver. It was Donald Driver. DRC was backed off about 9 yards, and instead of a running play, which they had called, and you could see the offensive line, and you could see it wasn't a play action. Aaron Rodgers just took the ball and on his own volition threw it out to Donald Driver and said, DRC, you go tackle him. And that's where it looked like to me on the very first play. He got hurt, but he wasn't. It wasn't. But he looked at it. I don't know if you saw that first play. The effort on it was not very good out of DRC. So that's what I think. You want to look for one thing, and I know I'm talking a lot here, but you want to look for one thing going into this game. One thing. It's going to be the hootie-hoo if DRC plays, especially with a bad knee, and Aaron Rodgers just taking the ball and throwing it out there every time DRC is off.
You could actually spin that off as its own podcast, I'm thinking. So like a sitcom, and Dr. Fraser Crane got his own, you know, his
look,
own
I
show.
Look, I have a lot of things to say, Paul.
But I agree with you, Wolf. DRC is the most indispensable, if you will. All right? And it's sort of like, as long as we're talking movies here, Darren Urban, it's like the Gladiator effect. It's the scene at the beginning of Gladiator, and Russell Crowe says, at my signal, unleash heck. Okay, and that's that.
We with, can say hell, can
with,
we?
With DRC, Bill Davis has the ability to unleash hell, as Darren Urban said. I'll quote him directly. Without DRC, not so much. So I'll boil that down into about 23 seconds and just leave it at that. And pose the question, what scares you the most then about Aaron Rodgers? Because you guys talked about Carolina, and there was no fear going into Carolina, right, even without Anquan Boldin. But when Carolina took the ball and went down and scored in five plays, I mean, my boxers started to bunge up a little. It's sort of that same feeling when you watch Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's that bunging effect. When you see that arm, Ralph Brown told me in the locker room after the game, you know, he probably has a better arm than Brett Favre right now. I mean, he's winging that thing off his back foot. I mean, he's mobile, he's smart, he's quick, he reads defenses. What do you think, Darren, in that matchup?
Well, I mean, the thing that kills you about Aaron Rodgers is he's throwing it all over the park and he doesn't throw any interceptions. I mean, it's stunning how much good that can come out of that passing game without any negative.
He doesn't make bad decisions. Uh-oh. Suppose that's one of the reasons all those sacks, not only was their O-line banged up earlier in the year, but right. He refused to throw the ball up.
Well, and you can use that to your advantage. If you can get some pass rush, which, you know, we didn't see a whole lot last week for all the reasons we've already talked about, you know, maybe you can at least get some sacks. Will you get the turnovers? You might not get the turnovers because he's not necessarily throwing the ball away, but you can put him in bad situations. You know, as well as the Packers are playing, they're not undefeated. You know, I think the key is, again, just like any other game, is putting them in third and long situations. If Ryan Grant is ripping off 4 and 5 and 6 yards on first down, you're going to be putting yourself in an awful, awkward situation, especially like Wolf said, with, you know, Rogers Cromartie not necessarily in the greatest place to make tackles or, you know, whatever the situation might be. You know, a point's been made to me too. This is where you really, in my opinion, you really lose Matt when you don't have Matt Ware. This is where it really hurts, because you could use Adrian in terms of pass rush and playing in the box so much more effective if you had somebody like Matt Ware back there. And quite frankly, Rashad Johnson's not doing the job right now. Not that Matt Ware is a Pro Bowler, but he's better than Rashad Johnson right now. And I think that's where you're really getting killed. Speaking of guys that are injured that people have forgotten about, that, you know, there's a piece you really could use right now.
Or maybe we're just missing the boat of the QB position overall there, Ron Wolfley, and maybe it's Kurt Warner. Maybe it's all about Kurt. I think the stat is, and I'm in front of me, you know, with one interception or less this season, the Cardinals are like that was their 10 wins. All 10 wins was when Kurt had one interception right. or less this year. And his all-time playoff rating as a QB, I saw this in your blog, Word from the Birds, is second all-time to Bart Starr.
Correct.
So maybe it's playoffs, just all yes. about Kurt Warner, the playoff rating.
Well, I have three keys. I'll go ahead and give you these keys. And I know they're generalities, and I know they're in some cases cliched. But this is the honest to goodness truth going forward. And there's many, many things that have to happen. You, for example, you have to be able to play well on special teams, right? In transition. That's a given.
Sure.
But to me, what really takes on new meaning in this game is the turnover. More so than anything else. The Green Bay Packers, have you looked at them? They are plus 24. An indescribable number. That is unbelievable.
The disparity.
They have a better turnover margin than some teams have takeaways on the year.
Wow.
Their turnover margin alone. They have what? What is it? 39? 39 takeaways and 15 giveaways. Do you know how insane those numbers are? You're turning the ball over less than one time per game, and you're getting it well over twice as many times. That's just insane, those numbers. So if the Cardinals are even tied, I think, in the turnover margin, it's going to be a tough proposition. They've got to protect the ball and make more conservative decisions, and that starts with Kurt. More than anybody else on the team, he's got to know when to throw it away. He's got to know when to tuck that ball. He's got to know and feel the pass rush. This is paramount. If the Cardinals lose the turnover battle, I think you'll see what happened last week to them.
Well, and it's funny because I agree with everything you just said, but when I look in the big picture of this game, I'm thinking you better be able to open it up because it's going to take points to win this game. That's how I'm thinking. And in some ways, that's against what we're talking about.
And that's why key number two, protect Kurt Warner. This team is built on throwing the football. Now, you can run the ball, and you need to run the ball, and you need to be able to run it effectively enough to keep the defense for the Packers honest. But let's face it, this is still a passing team, and you're talking about Kurt Warner, and if you're talking about having the best red zone offense in the NFL and getting down into that position where you can score and capitalize against a defense like the Packers, you're talking about throwing the ball to move the ball. And if you don't protect Kurt Warner, if Levi Brown and Jeremy Bridges have tough days this Sunday, look out, because I don't see a way that the Cardinals could actually run their way and scoring enough points to beat the Green Bay Packers.
I wonder if they look at the full body of work from the season, if they automatically start employing a lot more stunts and other maneuvers to come up the middle, something like the Niners did and had success against the Cardinals in two games, something like the Colts did. You know, I really wonder if you're going to see that, or if that's too far outside, you know, the repertoire for the Green Bay Packers. Because, I mean, you could boil it down to just protect Kurt, because all the interceptions and the sacks and the turnovers come down to the protection that Kurt Warner has received all year long. That could be your one simple key to the entirety of the playoff run. As for my three keys, gentlemen, I know everyone's clamoring. What are they, Paulie, playoffs? You know, how about the Cardinals receivers against the depth at cornerback for the Packers? We haven't even brought that up yet. I mean, sure, Charles Woodson and Larry Fitzgerald, maybe they nullify each other, even though Woodson, talking to Fitz, he doesn't expect Woodson to shadow him the whole game. He doesn't expect that to happen. Tremone Williams, I mean, you know, pretty good guy. But after that, I mean, there is definitely a fall off. And I wonder if the Cardinals' depth at receiver, and this is where the Anquan Boldin injury might really hurt the Cardinals. But I mean, to me, if you're going to attack another team's weakness, isn't that how you go after the Packers' defense?
Well, that's if you talk to the people that cover the Packers, that's what they would think, absolutely. And it's hard to have gotten a sense of where they stand with that because, of course, they dialed it back so much last week.
The other one is just playoff experience. You know, I mean, the Cardinals, what they did a year ago. Where do you think, if I go around the locker room with this question, Ron Wolfley, where do you think the playoff experience will serve the Cardinals the best starting Sunday? Where are they best equipped based on last year's playoff run? How much of a difference does it make, you think?
I think it makes a huge difference. I would have to say, Paulie, to answer your question, just the adversity of a game itself and maybe getting down in a football game. Think of last postseason, what that did for the Cardinals. They were down against Atlanta, 17-14. Remember that, at the half. They go to Carolina. They get down immediately. Maybe the most horrific start you could imagine on the road. The whole East Coast thing. They return the opening kickoff, the Panthers to midfield, and what, four plays, five plays later? Don't know what it was. They score a touchdown. They're down immediately on the road. And you know, all the way up through the NFC Championship game, getting a big lead against the Eagles and then getting behind in that game again. And then in a fourth quarter, taking over and all the way to Super Bowl 43. The fact that they came from behind, scored 14 points in a quarter, and had a lead with 2 minutes and 37 seconds against the number one defense in the National Football League, a defense that was giving up 14 points a game. I think that experience of being behind in every one of those playoff games, boy, you take that in there is not an instrument known to man that could measure how important that is to a football team.
I will say this, though. I go into this game with the way everything is going, and we can argue about the psychology, blah, 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 all day long. I don't think the Cardinals can afford to get down a couple scores early. Well, even if it's 10 points, I think with the way the crowd is looking at this game and what happened last week, whether it mattered or not, I don't think the Cardinals can be facing a big early deficit and have it come out the right way for them, because I think that just builds on whatever confidence the Packers do have. I think the Cardinals need to match them early and let the crowd build into it and believe.
Well, speaking of the crowd, I'm looking forward to not being able to hear myself as you try and talk to the guy next to you down on the field, because the playoffs are right around the corner, gentlemen. And with that in mind, I think I'm personally going to go down to the locker room and start filling the bulletin board with hate mail. Okay, I'm just going to make stuff up. I'm just going to wantonly attribute just bogus comments to national analysts. I'm just going to post them up on the bulletin board, whether they're true or not, because I think that would be in the best interest of the Cardinals in their own locker room. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's a fine idea. And the only other thing I want to say to wrap up this Pauly Pigskin playoff podcast, whatever it is that we're calling it here, is the one thing about the Arizona Cardinals, and I've said this before, and I've been saying it for 2 years, every time you count them out, every time you think they're baked, you're the loser in the room. This team has a knack of rising up. It's one of the best personality traits a team could possibly have, of rising up when the chips are down and it looks bad. And you can credit the coaching staff here for really cultivating that type of personality on this team. Every time you count them out, they make you pay. And that's why I'm not going to bet against them in any scenario.
You get them down to their last chips, they go all in, they win that hand, and then all of a sudden they come back to use that chip scenario. By the way, if you guys want a game face, look at our own Jim Omohundro over there. He is locked in. He is ready for the playoffs. So with that being the case, for Darren Urban and Ron Wolfley, Pauly playoffs over here, this has been the playoff edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.